Advances, my first time in this chair in a while, so if I mess up, please be forgiving. Thank you very much in advance for that, because I know it's going to happen. All right, so if we can start with good things. I think there are a bunch.
We just made it back from the Timberlakes, the ribbon cutting ceremony. And I just think it's so exciting that it's such a huge accomplishment to finally reach out and have multiple sources and just a true community effort. So often, I think, in our community, we have everybody trying to do their own, you know, their own thing. And for us to be able to pull that together between us, the developer, and MCID, all contributed toward that shared use playground. And just, that's a huge, as we move forward, the more we can do that, the more we'll be able to provide for our community, and the more they'll benefit from it. So.
Yes. Very, very nice, well attended, I think. Mm-hmm. Alan, you want to talk about Friday?
No, you can go ahead.
All right, so on Friday, we delivered checks to every campus. And I was saying something to Deitra earlier, I don't know if y'all do Facebook, but there's the video on Facebook really says a whole lot to what happened that day. I think we were affected, you know, just as much as the people who were appreciative of getting the check. It was just an awesome day. Tears. It was really emotional and wonderful, and just so glad that it happened and that we were allowed to be part of it.
Yeah. I was contacted personally by a few folks in the district, and it was
awesome.
Incredibly heartfelt.
Yeah.
I said, tear jerking. Yeah. And just as a part of it, I'm so glad we were able to make that happen.
Yes, yeah. I think all of us, thank you, everyone. Any other good things?
I have a couple of personal good things. So, Tylee is student of the month at Peach Creek. Maybe the only time her education finish is going to get it. So, I'm going to go over there so I don't miss that.
I would not bank on her getting all that steak.
Oh, man, really the wildcat. And then Kim sent me this today. So, Beckett goes to Rockin' Horse, and this was the note. He loves We Are the Champions by Queen. He dances to it all day. So, good times. But no, on that other note, just, you know, thank you to the board for y'all's support of that retention and incentive payment, because, you know, I don't think we really understand where a lot of our people are and the kind of year that they've had, and just some of the messages that I personally received. I just think it's another indication of why this district is so special, and I'm just amazed that we kept it a secret for as long as we did, and it was awesome to see our custodians and transportation and long-term subs that didn't think they were going to get it. Our principals probably didn't think y'all were going to get it. But it was really, really probably the best day I've ever had in my career, just getting to see everybody's, you know, faces and having our central office be a part of that. So sometimes they don't always see the fruits of their labor. And for them to be a part of that was really special. So thank y'all for supporting that.
I'll go on that note. You know, I'm not an emotional person by no means, I promise you that. But there was one teacher where I just had to flat walk away because I was about to cry with her. I can see many of them appreciated it a lot. And then Saturday, we were able to go to the Friends of Splendor Progress Show. It's good to see the interaction, that the commitment that the ag teachers over there had, the officers for their community service. So it was a good day, good fundraiser for them. Pretty good turnout. So that's it.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
So next we move on to student recognition.
That's so our district holiday card art winner. It's always fun to get to vote on this every Christmas. And our winner is 10th grader Bridget Rodriguez. Bridget, are you here? You'll come up. We have a little gift for you. And it says, look what I did. So pretty cool. And I want a couple of board members come out and take a picture with it. Anybody?
Go for it.
Congratulations.
Good job.
You're all standing on one side of it.
Good work. Thank you. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Do one more.
Just her guy.
Get out of the picture.
Can we talk to Bert?
Yes.
Can Mom get one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Yes. With y'all.
Do you want some there? You want me?
Bridget, you're super talented. What are you going to do with your talent?
I don't know.
I'm going to make holidays.
Celebrate Christmas. There you go.
How much time
are we going to do? So, let's see. We have district recognition next. Unified Champions presentation. So,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Come on up.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having us today. I'm jumping on the agenda a little bit late. I'm Michelle Reynolds. I'm a licensed specialist in school psychology for the district, and I work with the special education programs.
I'm Rachel Coleman. I'm a special education teacher at the high school.
And so in the past year, we've been able to partner with Special Olympics Texas and launch Unified Schools, Unified Champion Schools. And this is a partnership where Special Olympics recognize that we have Special Olympics, which is just for special Olympians, those with significant cognitive disabilities. And we have regular types of activities that kids participate on every day. But the lack was is mingling that and making it a really unified, inclusive program that really builds a school culture. And so what we've been able to launch is starting with like a student organization or a student leadership group is partnering those for our life skills, applied skills, or developmentally disabled students like with autism, things of that nature, with our kids who are more neurotypical or more typically developed, for joint activities and for a joint purpose. And so as you saw the baskets and all of the things that are out in the hallway today, those are all things that were built and made by those unified groups. And so we've started a silent auction to try to raise money so that we can support the organization as they move forward through like unified farming, unified cooking. We have unified robotics going on this year, which is a UIL sport that's recognized across the state, and the state just approved unified track. So it'll take teams of mixed abilities to compete against teams of mixed abilities, which is a beautiful thing. And so we're really excited about what we have. We had a couple of students on deck today to come talk about what it means for them to be a part of this. However, because of illness or deaths in family, they're not here today. But I'll let Rachel talk a little bit about what it looks like as far as running that program through the wind of the high school.
So we use our flex period at the high school, and we use that as an opportunity to really engage the kids. And we use this as a student-led opportunity. So these kiddos, they actually come in, they come up with these ideas of how they want to be inclusive. And so far, they've been able to do some amazing things. To see some of these kiddos that have, they may be in special education because of behavioral challenges, which is kind of where I play into part of that. To see them go into a classroom and to see them coach a kid on how to build something or how to talk about a book or something that they read, it has been an amazing opportunity for these kids because every one of these kids has a lot of time. We just got to give them the opportunity to shine. And when we find these places for them, when we get them together with their same age peers, when we give them these opportunities, it's just amazing to see their faces light up through it.
That's awesome.
So I saw that the silent auction starts soon.
It started today. So I will celebrate the class of 68 Wildcats decided. 68? 63?
Yeah, 68.
Says that nobody's going to lose, so they put $500 on the high school bid. They won the cornhole bowl. It was pretty hard, but I think my office might win them, so we can have a cornhole challenge. It's fine. We have the junior high has the big tree that's out in the foyer, and then the other baskets and items have all been created from the elementary school, so we're very, very fortunate.
Very cool.
Do you have any questions for us?
Well, thank you, ladies, for what you do here every day, and thank you for the quote that you said that every child is a light.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I think it's so important to remember that every kid has something special to give, and it's our job to bring that out in them.
100%.
Well, and it's nice to see that we've come a long way since when I first started 23 years ago, where all the special services kids were in like a portable building, not just everywhere was like that. And now everyone's not just in classes academically, but also socially, and everyone's coming together. It's, I think everyone wins that way.
That's one of the reasons the class of 68 is so involved in this, because that happens to be my mom and my dad's class. And when I asked them what it was like on their campus when they were my age or when they were seniors in high school, they said, I don't remember those kids. I remember seeing them sometimes. And I said, Mom, that is insane. Look how far we've come in education.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for leading. All right, so next we have a big event, SISD Police Badge Pinning Ceremony.
So Tracy, a small ceremony. You want to invite the whole church?
They all invited them.
There you go.
Oh,
wow. All right.
Okay. Y'all know when I started, I think we had four officers here. So with the addition tonight, we'll have seven, which is huge for us. Every school will have a designated officer once we get Tracy back. We talk about the vision here. I try to align my vision of the school district with that of the police department. The first thing up there is the right people. And I think I've mentioned, since I've been here, you know, I got to get the right people. Being a police officer in the city and county is different than being a police officer in the school district. So, hopefully, everyone's going to be happy with who we've hired. A little bit about Tracy. Known him and his wife. For several years, we actually met at a church, First Baptist of Tuscaceta. I think it's changed names several times. We went to different churches, but stayed in tough contact. He told me he wanted to be an officer and come work for me, and of course I'm like, you know, a little bit older than me, you know, starting this late in your career, really, a police officer. But, you know, I didn't really think he was serious until him and his wife called and said, hey, we're looking at police academies, and we've actually signed up. I'm like, oh, it's like really serious. I better have a spot. He has a history in construction, so this is completely different for him. But like I said, he worked with the youth, and interesting fact, how small the world is and how, you know, I used to say weird God is. Kyle Codiron, who will be training him over at Precinct 4, both of us used to teach that little kid when he was about this small in the youth group of the church. So, the irony of that. We went to Peach Creek. I brought him in this week. So we went to Peach Creek on Tuesday, and if anybody's ever been to Peach Creek, you can't go in that school without her taking you and introducing you to the kids. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So we went in there, and she said, let's go meet the kids, and you never know what a classroom full of kids are going to be. So we walk in, and, you know, and Duane and Sal meet my friends, you know, Mike Bryant, the officer there, he's important, chief, get out of the way. He's our new officer. He's going to be Tracy Sykes. So, of course, we look around, and known Tracy a long time. I turn my right, and there's about two kids on this leg, two little kids on this leg, and I'm thinking, well, either he's going to go home and never, ever come back, or this is going to be the greatest. And for those of you that have never been to Peach Creek, I will say, if you're, I used to always say, emotionally, not if you're like sick physically, but mentally, emotionally, if you walk in that classroom and those kids jump on you and you get on the floor with them, I mean, that just makes your whole job 100% worth it. So he enjoyed that. He came back Wednesday, which was good. We sent him over to the high school. He's been over there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I will tell you, by the time Friday got around, I would have thought he's been there like 6 months, because he dealt with the kid that was vaping, kind of talked to the kid on the side, and basically just made himself right at home. So I don't even know why I'm here, but... last thing I want to say before we bring up his wife is thank you, Lynette. My wife is here in the back, so she understands what it's like to go through a police academy. And I know several times he probably came home and, you know, said all kind of things about different people. And there's a lot of times, especially in the academy, there are days you come home and you probably want to quit. Physically, the academic side, and it's very hard. And with COVID, I will say for him, you never knew if he was going to go to the academy or stay at home and work on his computer, which we've all experienced that. you've been 3 days at home on the computer, you've just kind of had enough. But he made it through that, made it out, and so we're here tonight to pin his first badge on him. So Lynette, if you will come up here. It's brand new, it's still in the plastic.
Very much so.
Hug, kiss,
I knew that's what it was all about.
The last thing I will give him is oath of office. Judge Dunn was here last time. Judge Dunn is very busy, so I'm sorry we didn't eat tonight. So, if you'll repeat after me, I, Tracy Sykes.
I, Tracy Sykes.
Do you solemnly swear?
Solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the duties of a police officer.
That I will faithfully execute the duties of a police officer.
Of the Splendora Independent School District Police Department, Montgomery County, Texas.
Of the Splendora Independent School District Police Department, Montgomery County, Texas.
And will, to the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution.
And laws of the United States and of the state of Texas.
And laws of the United States and the state of Texas.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Welcome, officer.
Audience participation, but we don't have any audience, and I think I have to read it anyway, correct? Yes, okay. And then we'll go from there to the first audience. Participants must have signed up prior to board meeting start time. Participants must address the board, or may address the board on any agenda item. Participation is limited to 3 minutes to make comments to the board, unless the participant requires the use of a translator, in which case participation is limited to 6 minutes. The board will only consider complaints that remain unresolved after being addressed through proper administrative channels and when they've been placed on the agenda. Please note, the Board of Trustees shall not deliberate, respond, or make decisions regarding any subject that is not included on the agenda that is posted. For further information on these requirements, contact Katie Key, Superintendent Secretary, at 281-689-4441. So next, we have the first report public hearing, and Kevin Lynch.
All right, thank you. That feels like a little deja vu, but if you'll remember back, we were in a little bit of catch-up mode on the last report several months back. It was for the year past. And this is current. On last year's data, short story, we scored a 96 of 100. We are superior again for the 14th, 15th year in a row. If you'll look at the indicator test number 11, it is where we gave up some points, and it's in administrative costs. We continue to look at that sector as we budget. Basically, where we're looking at there is that we do quite a bit of work with the Selecti Center and such, and those expenses show up in this sector, along with, you know, other administrative costs that, I guess when you boil it down to it, they're hitting kids where they're supposed to, but due to the nature of their job description and the FASRAG, it can't be coded directly to instruction. It's coded to administration, so it's kind of the nature of the beast. We scored a .1522 in that area, and in order to be a 10, a school of our size needs to score no more than a .1152. So we dropped two categories from there, which is a .401 to a .1655. So roughly we're right there in the middle of that column. In your packet, you also have the mandated expenses and such that is required by the template, by the comptroller's office that will be posted, and basically it's the truth and taxation, transparency and such is the reason and the purpose for the first report. So, have any questions?
Sure. On the, just a quick one. The breakdown for the expenses, can that be itemized a little bit more in future reports, such as what, say if we go to a conference, what costs were accrued for that conference for each person?
Sure. Yeah, it's just your normal travel expenses.
As to which one to align anything.
Okay.
Stuff in there.
Sure.
Okay. You mean like by conference? Yeah, to see.
That's okay. Right.
Any, it says public hearing, by the way, too, if there's any questions from the public. All right. There we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have a little switch this evening. We're going to go to closed session after right now. So let me read the closed session items. So the Board of Trustees will now go into a closed session. This closed session will be held for purposes authorized by the Texas Open Meetings Act, Texas Government Codes for Personnel Matters, Section 551.074, and Real Property, Section 551.072, as well as Section 551.076 regarding security devices or security audits. Concerning any and all purposes permitted by the Act, no voting will take place in the closed meeting. Any action the Board wishes to take as a part of discussions in closed session will take place after the Board reconvenes in the open meeting. It is now 6:52 p.m.
All right.
So we'll come back and get y'all.
Yeah.
Shirley, Shirley.
Come on, Lisa.
Well, essentially,
Yes.
It was?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good.
So every day I was saying, I do this all the time. I really check the names at all. Like, I put 7 yellow and I call 7 names.
I'm trying to see.
You need to.
Or
But.
I'm
Joe, how are you doing tonight, Kim? I'm doing well.
I'm Now he realized,
said there would be a one or two to break it tomorrow. I think it's about tomorrow. But I'm supposed to say that.
How funny, funny, can we?
I
Adult insurance and
what if they don't have
it? Don't have adult insurance. Yeah, well, and you know, you know, he's bad. He's
a
bad. You'll see, man.
Right, they did. already mentioned.
But you got to you're over there.
Sad. Oh my gosh. It's very, very, very.
Never again.
And we offer every summer. Those camps are nice around here. So we started doing, we had that opportunity to get a year of that in Townsville. And so as a part of that, we would pay for the kids all the way to camp. So this summer, we got our first summer out.
Yes,
and they had, I think I was talking about
And the other one, so I get, because that one is one element. I get these wonder ones.
Put on there for a week, working museum, dish.
Thank you, free.
Those are the things that we can expose our kids to. And like, we got to figure out when that's in public school to help kids to see that. Because that was a little things that. Yeah, and that was a good deal too. We took the kids to, we had 50 kid trips. And we were taking a wheel, we went to, we went to Lamar, McNeese, Blue Bells, and back here. And so, over like a 2 day, we did tours, and we had 5 kids out of the McNeese. Yeah, just because they, and ladies has no RC. We would call them an RC.
Yeah.
We should make sure that, but, it was one trip, it was one trip, it was a Texas trip to
FCA.
FCA.
My price was part of FCA. Thinking he was involved, he had bought a pencil from me, and he came back to bring.
ain't getting another. In these clouds, do you think? So I go in as a kind of a science teacher, I teach some kind of. So go in there and go, I just want to get this. The humans are so and so, that's a kid. It's being accessed. It seems to me to get away. I go to the trash, I get like, candy wrappers, right? I go find him.
Friday. I like it. He's really excited.
And this is something I did at the high school this weekend. It was in his state library. He's planning next week to be in first, to be in the championship. And so like if you were in my state library, if you have football, he's planning to be in the championship. And like first place is like 1500 and second place is like 850.
Good.
Nice.
You've been doing pretty good in all this.
He's doing real good.
Probably better than my son's birthday.
I'm just worried about the money, really.
I usually always do a, when we do those college pick-ems, maybe if they just put all that, I didn't do anything this year.
We usually, our campus is really expensive at all, but we didn't do it this year.
I know. We didn't even, well, college didn't, you know, half of them.
Like half of them,
we only played 3 or 4 games. So I guess it would have been hard to do.
Yeah.
It's fun to do. It's fun to see who's going to. We end every week.
Tommy?
Zero.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, that teacher was like, yeah.
I follow this in the Wall Street Journal, or not your family, but the Wall Street Journal. Jim Eisen has a PhD, educational doctorate.
I'm not going.
That's not a PhD, it's a medical doctorate. So she's a doctor.
Why is your school work?
It's a difficult thing.
I never felt so easy for it. I says, no, I'm going to do it to you in front of you.
Now I tell women you're not a good worker.
All right, man, you got it. And they go to private, you know, I told them, that's a good man, says, you know, give you a visit where you got it from. Man, it's, he ain't been a bunch. I said, you're feeling the game now.
Is it the high school or high school?
It's going to be hard to show up enough, I know we might do it. And you should give it to him, yeah, you were cheating.
As long as you didn't use the answer.
You didn't even use the study, I mean, you use them. I wouldn't be mad at him. I said, damn, that fool just sit there. You cry, you could at least miss them.
You should at least, like, if you were in high 70, you might believe that.
He's a mess, man.
That'd be fun.
I think a lot of times it happens to people saying the same a lot. You understand why you're using the bag. The bag is not. It's not the kid. It's not to get better. And so kids like going to the doctor. So you don't go to the doctor, man. And you know, hey, doctor, I'm sick. Okay. Well, what's wrong with you? I'm sick. I said, what's the doctor do to tell you sick? Oh, he gives me another thing that's in you. I don't know. He said, never at all. You don't tell me wrong, he can't figure out what's the answer to give me.
He's giving me all of them.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, that's why we do these, is not to catch it, just to figure out, okay, this is what the holes are, and this is how we can test it out. Tell me the teacher, don't worry.
Well, you know, like, my cousin's sister, I got told, you know, you can be careful, you can be careful.
Can you duplicate?
Hey, it's gotten cooler in here.
My Drew Brees pictures, you know, I said, there's a quarterback on the side, I got a picture of him holding an iPad. And I said, what do you think he's doing? And he's looking at me, what just happened? I said, yeah, he's reviewing a series of plays that just occurred, looking for that advantage on what went well or what didn't go well, so we can kind of, I said, that's immediate feedback. I said, that is our ultimate goal, to get to the point where we can start giving, you know, immediate feedback to kids so that you can find some work to do for the whole week.
And I think that's really important, like, for kids to understand, like, why.
It's a
while.
Because not too fair, man. You know, Doug Burks, you know, did a lot of standards that he's
doing. We're still figuring that one.
K-12. Yeah. People just, that's, I think the grading piece, you know, I started from the grade, actually, and I was seeing how with a 0 to 100 scale, your opportunity to fail is 69 points. And your opportunity to pass is 31 points. Mm-hmm. He said, it's the setup for you to fail. If you think about that, you know, you got a 100 point scale, 69 of those points is failure. Only 31 of those points are success. He said, why is your scale reversed? Like, what are you looking for? You know, you have to start thinking about, okay, how do we revamp that thought? Because that's what happens to kids and adults too. We just look at failure because if the margin of failure is so easy, because it's so huge. You know, when you start looking at, like, you talked about looking at it with the fractions. You know, you got 1 out of 4, you got 3 out of 4, mm-hmm. you got 2 out of 4. You know, those seem like I can make some progress on.
Okay.
You know, 33% that on a 100-point scale, I'm out of the mix.
And you know, I think,
you know, 1 out of 3, I get 2 out of 3 next time, you know.
And you know, and that's how I should say goals. Like, when I get clients that say goals, they don't say goals the first day.
You ever get tired of having to come to public meetings?
Especially when you just sit here late at night
and just wait your turn.
My percentage is that number. That system is not good anymore.
I bet you have.
Me too.
It doesn't break the spirit. Can't discourage you. Yeah. I'm okay with 0-100 now. I'm doing that. Maybe we'll look at it next week.
I still like Stinger's face because everybody has the potential to learn it.
Yeah.
Just arrive at the final destination at different times.
And that's okay.
And it is okay. But we also box kids into, you know, if you're really good at math, why can't you just keep going? Why do you have to wait? I mean, I've got a lot of philosophies I think about. Like, I'm really good at math. Why do I have to wait second grade? Go second grade math. Why can't I just do second grade math? And then so on. Why can't I just go to the next level? Why do I have to wait?
You want to move you all together.
I'm so excited. I'm in sixth grade now.
Good grief. Have you seen? Y'all should look at the math teaks.
No. Let me tell you something. I've got a fourth grader. And I had to pause the other day when I was like, am I doing this for you?
They just require more and more of our students.
Fractions I get. I'm good with fractions. No, something else.
Fractions were always the most difficult for me to teach.
I might just do what's that called? Photo math? It's just photo math.
Photo math? No.
What?
Oh, are you
talking
about that app?
Yeah, you take a picture.
Yeah, and it tells you the answers. Yes. So whatever I thought
practice. What comes up with that?
Every year that I thought practice, I tell my kids, we're going to figure it out together. It's going to be a long, hard road. It's vocal up.
They come and basically please me arrives.
Mm-hmm. We have that. Like, we can help with that.
Yeah.
That chalkboard. Yeah. I had a whiteboard and I drew it. Turn it off.
Lord,
have you seen Jerry?
Yeah, we had the
Jerry Brooks.
Jerry Brooks.
His
Miss White was my new
man.
No, I haven't seen that.
But she always wore a black skirt. She had white hair. Just old. I remember her being old when I was in the eighth grade. And she always wore a black skirt and a white shirt and a tie. It was like a uniform. And so she would turn around, like she would teach class. She would write on the board like this. And then she would erase like this with her hands. It's like, oh, no, not that. So then she would go like this.
And she had
So she would have white all over her white shirt. So I went back to my first year to teach. I taught in that same school.
That's kind of cool.
His wife was still there.
She
was dressed to the overhead.
Yeah.
And so she had
dressed. I had to take my mask off. That's why I came far away.
And so she'd sit by her overhead and she'd, you know, write on those transparency things. And
and then she'd wipe it on her
on a white shirt.
All color fingers.
They should have
done
my 10th plan before this.
Several years ago, the overhead caught on fire and sparked
in it. No. My first year teaching, I had an overhead.
Your first year what?
My first year teaching, I had an overhead.
Oh, I had an overhead. I used overhead like crazy.
All the time.
And it was, my hands were side of my hand.
Yeah.
We
should lick them.
When I got an Elmo, I was like, what is this creation? This is magnificent.
Well, I got the very first computers in my classroom that actually had Windows. And so trying to use that mouse was like, oh, look, you just moved this. You can click here.
That's so funny.
And then we were a site for SFA, and so if we allowed them to place so many instructors there, or teacher practice teachers, and they put us a computer lab in, and they had the very first round of the Macs. And so we get to go in and teach kids and newsletters and use the mouse. We've come a long way.
They put me in the Verver Inn. The Verver Inn.
What are you doing?
My TIP plan. Mm-hmm. They'll just approve it and then I'll go. Dr. Barnes said, "Why are you so much fun? I want you to come tonight." I said, "Okay, Dr. Barnes."
Hey, you're temporary.
Yes. Should have come in my elf costume. They wouldn't be back there. They'd come back out quicker because they would have wanted to see that. Hey, those shoes are so cute. My PTL moms are the one that put me in it. And they put me in it for 4 days. Like, I have to wear it. I wore it all day today. And then in the morning, I have somewhere to be. And then I have, like, 3 other locations.
They're
going to
give me a trophy case like
you. I don't have a trophy case. I'm so sad. I wish we did. I'm going to be on the playground when the buses get there in the morning. I'm going to be on the library shelf, I think. I'll ask you. I don't remember the other place. No, my PTO mom just told me what to do, and I do it.
Snowman? No, the snow monster. What's that show?
Do you remember when Buddy was in Ruffalo?
A domino.
Yeah.
That's who Nick was. Remember?
Oh, well, that he was quite perfect.
That's
the Rudolph's reindeer.
Yeah, don't you remember their photo?
No, I don't remember.
Oh my gosh, they did cards. He was hilarious.
Do you remember when Buddy was in Ruffalo?
Oh yeah, I love that.
He loves that. Every year he'll do that.
That was funny.
I made him talk to one of my kids the other day in his Gruffalo voice. He was like, "I'm the Gruffalo."
I need to pull up my top 25 list.
What?
The top 25 craziest things that happened in Snowboro this week.
Did you do it? You did a list?
I have one.
To paint over here?
No.
One of them is the cyber attack.
Yes.
I don't think that made the list.
Really?
What? No.
There's 24 more things.
How many years to go back? Like, one teacher says she was going to be late because she had stuff. No, she had to put her dead cat in the freezer because she was going to stuff it. So she was going to be late to work.
If I had a knocker, every time people use that as an excuse. When are you going to share this list?
Oh my gosh. That's like, this summer they were passing out devices, and so they were coming in. And this lady brings in her jar of ashes and asks somebody to watch them because she couldn't leave it in the car because it was too hot. It was her dead cat or dog or somebody. She didn't want to leave it in the car because it was too hot. It's like, what? You can't make that up.
That's a true story.
It is a true story. That's Buddy. When he tells it, he's hilarious.
I'm going to make Buddy tell it.
So, Ed Smith used to be on the board. This was his second or third time going around. So he's getting pretty up there in age. You can make sure. And one time, he was like missing board meetings. I'm like, why are you missing board meetings? Because he had gotten a paper route. And he had to get up too early, and those board meetings lasted too long for him to be able to sleep and get up early for his paper route. That's what it was. But that's kind of funny.
Hey, do you remember Matt McCrary?
Mm-hmm.
He called me today. And because him and my mom go way back, he was looking for a mom information. He goes, "I cannot believe they let you be a principal."
Oh my goodness.
I was like, "I have an office and everything." He called me at school. He said, "I've been office and everything." And he goes, "Oh my God, you're principal of school."
That's funny. Mac. M-A-C. I thought you said Matt.
No, Mac.
Mac.
Mac McCrary.
He used to be married to Jeanette.
Yes.
Jeanette.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amanda, the daughter, and they have another one.
Christy.
Christy's the oldest, yeah.
Yeah. But he's like, "I cannot believe that you would be a principal."
That's funny. And Dr. Price had a son who was the same age as Suzanne Soto's son. And Suzanne Soto's son was on the board, Jesse Soto. And Jesse Soto stole
Well, one of your board members steal your son's girlfriend?
Because Jesse was like 18.
He got elected to the board.
Really?
Wow.
Huh.
Oh, so it's the funniest moment.
Well, the weird stuff, too. You know, we had, this was sad, sad but weird. We had a man who was kidnapped, and they were going to take him up here and kill him in Splendora. And they took him to it's sad because it's so true. They took him to one of the deer hunting lease roads that are
cottonwoods.
No, just like all these little deer cottonwoods. Yeah. Okay? So they stripped this guy and they put him on a pole or something. And they're going to light him up, kill him. Right?
Yeah.
Awful. Somehow he gets away.
Got away.
Oh, good for him. And he starts running down the road. Naked and afraid. Running down the road.
Yep.
And so a parrot picked him up.
And where should we take this person?
Well, she got to drop her kids off at school, so she's going to bring him to school.
Because they
so
got
we go
police
into
there.
A lockdown, because we have police here. So we go into full-fledged lockdown across the district because we got this man who's going to be tortured. And some people were out looking for him. But we got him here at school.
That was just lazy, by the way.
That's what I think.
You're going to do it, you do it. You don't go take a break whenever you got the guy chained up to...
If you're the parent, just drive that extra little mile...
To the police station.
To the police station! Come on!
In the school.
Like,
the
school. How do you not get here? Junior high, right here.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Now I'm going to leave you alone while I go and think about things.
I think they left to go get, I don't know, maybe they went to go get...
Get their chainsaw.
Something, I don't know. They left him.
Did I tell you about the parent, or about the call we got from the neighborhood about the kid running around with the sky? You know, we had a kid that was on our campus for a while, but now he's in a adaptive behavior school. And so we get this call, and the receptionist answers it, and she's like, yes, this is Petrie Elementary. And the receptionist's like, yes, it is. And she goes, well, I've looked at a map, and so I do believe this is in your zone. There's a little boy running around.
Side.
Yeah. And I really think that's dangerous. And so they called the school because they didn't know what else to do. And it was our kid, and we knew exactly who it was. We're like, well, what's your location? And she told us, and we're like, well, I'm going to call the police, you know, and we'll let them know as well. But running around, we knew exactly who it was.
We had a client in the treatment one time when I was working in the rehab facility. And sat in group talking about how bad the relationship was with her husband, and she just wanted to kill him, except she had, and he was out of the trunk.
Oh my God!
You went, she did you relate?
He was out there in the trunk.
And what'd you do?
I mean, like, well, maybe we should call the police. She was like, it's probably the best idea.
And she did it?
Mm-hmm. Man.
Did he deserve it?
Probably did. Well, I don't know. Do you deserve to die? It's a hard question to answer.
Some people.
Oh, man.
Huh.
That's crazy. But she did come to group.
I mean, if you would have had group a little earlier. What about kids that bring things in their backpacks? Like, we've had some kids bring some crazy things in their backpacks.
Oh, yeah.
We had a little fifth grader in Livingston. Adaptive behavior kid. She brought garden shears, like the big.
Yeah.
Like she had them sticking out of her backpack. The handle for up like this, and she just tried to walk into school like, here I come.
Is she going to do some gardening?
She had a shit list.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how long that takes. Walk through the front door carrying a big, like,
knife, but it wasn't really a knife. I don't know, but it was a tool of some sort. And she brought it because in their class, they were talking about like ancient tools. And so she brought it to show whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And she tried to walk through the door, like,
here I am.
And what's worse is like the parents let her out of the car. Like she was in the car.
Right. Brian was waiting. We had to hurry.
Well, it's just funny because when we used to go to school here, we brought our rifle to school. Mm-hmm. In the back of the truck. You were just in the back of the truck. You put them on the track.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I forgot about it. They're in the parking lot. So, that was it.
I think we're at negative 10.
I forgot about us.
Well, I didn't want to be the first one to walk back in here because I was like, oh boy, they're going to kill me first.
Did you get all the death stares?
Yeah, I did.
Sorry.
Thanks for the problem in the email.
What did he bring up?
Yikes. That'd be a crappy Christmas. You sick like that? Okay, who are we waiting for?
Jackie and Abby and Jeff.
Okay. Okay, so we got that, which is the CARES funding discussion, the security audit update, we're good. Police report, we'll just see if there's any questions. Student fees discussion, GP. Oh, yeah, oh well. Session. Yay. Okay, so we have CARES Act funding discussion. Brian, Mr. Crocker?
Oh, okay. So as the temperature drops in here, I will speed things along. The main point that I wanted to talk to you about tonight is that the main protection, the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, is going to expire December 31st, 2020. And as such, there's been little to no movement at the federal level for protections for employees. I mean, if we can't even agree on the president, I think the protection the protection of others is going to be a problem. So I want to kind of give you a little bit of the emergency paid sick leave. So as we wind down this week and the protections expire for employees, as you can see, as the coronavirus has spread, so has our use of EPSL. In August, we started out with 4, dropped. We had a pretty great September, only 3, and then as you can see, 10 and 36, and I guarantee you December will be bigger, and I anticipate January and February and March are going to be with the coronavirus. Can you go to the next one, please? So, as you can see, this is kind of how much it impacts us financially and, of course, the number of days that have been taken. So, with all of those employees out, November was the most missed yet, with 227 days, with the financial impact of 43.5 to the district. So, total cost is $60K. What we're not factoring in is people who are able to work remotely. We have some employees who are able to do that rather easily, but you know, the vast majority we need a substitute in place for. So reaching out through my human resources listserv with other districts, wanted to reach out and see what other districts are planning on doing. So at the time, Clear Creek, Deer Park, and Pearland were the only ones who clearly had something on their agendas as far as extending protections. So that was where we were a week ago when I submitted this. Since then, I know that Humble is strongly considering it, as well as Conroe, just thinking of our immediate area. So possibilities that we can look at is having a board adopted resolution to grant paid leave. This wouldn't reset to zero. Like, if you've already used emergency paid sick leave, that doesn't mean you get another 10 days. You would still have to use your own local or state leave. But for those people who haven't experienced, which is still the vast majority of our employees, it would give them the example resolution that I had Stephanie draft for us, it would give them the 10 days of paid leave. Because the thing that we have seen the most is, while it's not really our positives we're worried about, it's just the quarantining that we have to do. Because people eat together, their kids stay the night at each other's houses. Like, these close contacts are the things that are severely impacting us. It's not so much the positives. The positives are truly minimal compared to the quarantine. It's the quarantine that is the bear right now. And, you know, the vast majority of these people return from quarantine negative, but I would hate for them to have to burn 5 of their local days, you know, through no fault of their own. If there's a COVID positive they're notified of, that's the responsible thing to
or
do.
Or when their kids are close contacts, they have to say.
Correct, or their kids are close contacts.
So it's not always just, yeah.
So I've given, like I said, a shared example resolution that you can potentially act on later tonight. We don't expect Congress to extend the Response Act. There's been little to no enthusiasm on that. They've, and what I've seen about it, whether or not they even go do another stimulus package for coronavirus, there's been no mention of leave or extending leave for workers. So what we did was we narrowed the scope of the resolution, which would end at the end of this school year. We felt that would be appropriate at this time, considering we have vaccine rollouts happening, as well as the summer months have seen the biggest dip in the virus, and I don't want to be the predictor for 21-22 at this stage, not till we see what the other trends are. Troy, anything you want to, that's something I you and I had talked about whether or not we could pull any sort of funding from TEA.
The biggest thing that hamstrings us is almost all of the CARES Act money that we have access to right now says expenditures must be incurred before December 30th, so that would be a limit good on something.
What about the county's money?
County's money doesn't have that restriction. I believe that, you know, I have to look at that, but I believe it says salaries are for people who have been involved in the design of remote instruction. So it's limited down to just those people and not the district as a whole. You wouldn't be able to back up custodian maintenance workers, paraprofessionals, people like that. I'll go back and double check that, but.
Okay. So teacher, the money for, that money is good for teachers and instructors and anybody doing remote, but not anyone else.
Well, that would be on I would say if I'm designing lesson plans, I'm designing remote, but there's even some debate on that.
Right.
There's very little leeway in terms of that cost about salaries.
So, Ryan, I didn't quite understand.
The county's, what they gave us?
Still got to follow the scarce care that guy.
If people are sick or if they've been exposed, we don't want them showing up. I mean, we want to prevent them from getting other people sick. I mean,
that's my biggest fear, Mr. Muirhead, is if this expires and we take no action, and then I've been exposed, but I'm low on days and I'm not symptomatic, you know, I need to come into work and save my days in case I do get sick. So, you know, I think the reason we've had such a positive first semester is because people knew they had those 10 days sitting there as a form of protection.
Did you have a question? Yes, I did. I didn't quite understand that, like, when you're showing the $45,000 for November, is that the, I'm eating this mask, I don't like it. Is that the cost for our
daily rate of what we pay this team this, while they're out?
What we're paying the teachers while they're out, does that include the cost of what we're paying subs to come in?
That I've not even factored that in. I'm simply telling you how much we're paying the teacher to stay home.
Okay. But we're paying that money anyway. I mean, really, the extra money we're paying is the subs, right?
Until they run out of days.
Correct. Until they run out of days.
Yeah.
Because we already budgeted their salary.
Yeah.
But we budget their days. So what you're saying is, if we gave them extra days, that's money that we hadn't budgeted that we would be potentially paying plus the subs.
It just prevents them from using all their sick days up.
No, I'm for it. I'm all for it. I'm just trying to get a financial impact. That's all. I'm just
really the financial impact is only the sub pay.
That's what I'm seeing. It's basically the sub pay.
Right. The sub pay.
Yeah. Because that's already budget. That's already what we're paying.
We were only 16 short today.
So we're really not that paying.
Because we were paying them every day anyway. So it's just,
the extra money. But that's true for any time a teacher is sick. So it's just there's so much more right now.
So that's really kind of the number I would be more interested in. I 100% agree with you, don't get me wrong. I'm just asking what the financial impact is. So I think,
to me, the difficulty in amending any of this is just, you know, like one of the comments in there was,
didn't spend money this year.
I'll wait till the conversations are done, and then
I know it's too hard.
Yeah, it's hard when it's all happening.
We're waiting on
guys.
We're waiting
on
you. Hey, Brian. Is there anything that I know we talk about that $40,000 of paying the teachers, but is there some things that we've not been able to do that save money to where that has offset that $40,000? Whether it be, you know, limited travels.
Absolutely. We've not traveled anywhere. None of us have, you know, just from my department alone, I normally would have hit 5 job fairs by now on the road, the hotel, and a winter conference for HR. None of that. And I know that's just not my department. That's Dr. Burke. That's Mr. Lynch, Dr. Barnes. You know, we're not going anywhere. So, you know, I think this is just a prudent move for our employees, should we choose to pursue that route. Because I think that we're seeing right now post-Thanksgiving, and we're not even talking about the 2 weeks off for the holidays yet.
Mm-hmm. It's the right thing to do, in my opinion. It shows support for your teachers, but also it shows prudence that we don't want this to spread. We want to be responsible, right? So I'm all for it. I was just, again, curious what the financial impact is.
Yes. If you go to the next slide. So speaking of our substitutes, those who were benefits eligible were very, very grateful for the checks that they received.
Yeah.
And I think that you saw the fruits of your endeavors whenever we were only 16 subs short today. Like, I think that check put a big bounce in everyone's step to finish strong. So what we're looking at compared to other districts around us, even though we're kind of all on the playing field, this is something that I need to really make sure we have the financial possibilities to do with Mr. Lynch is moving from our current 70 for non-degree, $80 degree, and 100 certified, to bumping it to 95 non-degree, 105 degree, and 125 certified. Just possibly from January through March to see if it will have any sort of impact as far as recruitment of substitutes, retention of substitutes, fill rates, people taking jobs on a daily basis, because I know that Humble ISD is doing a big push, so I'm matching Humble because that's what they're doing, is raising $25 throughout their pay grades, because we're all in the same boat.
Is that Conroe's current?
Yes, sir.
I talked to Curtis last week, and they're going to raise theirs, too. I just don't know how much.
Yes, that was as a week ago. That was their first
Humble. So what's Humble at if they reach 25?
They're where we're going to be at. Exactly.
So they were at ours. They just raised theirs 25.
Yes.
And if it works, you're going to ask for an extension? I mean, I'm good for it. I'm more for the rest of the year. I mean, just well, for the increased risk.
If I will tell you this, if this greatly impacts fill rates, then that's something we certainly need to follow through with long term, you know, as a potential.
Long term. Okay.
Yes, but right now we want to focus from January to March to see the impact, and I'll report back to you.
Yeah, we're going to find
out.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
And that's all I have as far as my piece. Okay. Should you choose to take action, it's on your agenda for later this evening. Yes,
I think my only statement was to show any change in that as far as. Proving where you got it, because that was one of the statements in the board book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's going to be so hard. We'll be in the weeds with that, I think, you know, as far as that goes, because there's no way to prove whether you got it at school or whether you got it outside
correct.
Of school. Or it's
you know, and bigger districts are hiring contact tracers, and that's all they do full time. Obviously, my department, we don't have that. I just think that the way the resolution is built for their timeline and just having it expire at the end of the school year is the most
important. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
That was one of the options, I think. Okay. Sorry.
So we're on the FFCRA resolution?
No, it's not correct.
Yeah, yeah. So security audit update, we really were in closed session for that. The police report, were there any questions on the police report?
Much more.
We just have some information out of
them. Okay. We didn't do any reports this month. As of tomorrow at 10 a.m., all the schools will have all their mandated safety drills according to the state done.
Awesome.
Good stuff. Personnel issues we talked about earlier tonight. Really, the productivity there, I think, about what it has been. The drills are up, obviously, because we've been hitting the schools hard. But besides that, everything's about normal.
So,
Chief, I was just going to say, commend you for doing the pinning. I've never been a part of that. I've never seen that, and that was really impactful. Hopefully, I'll get to see my nephew do it at some point.
That was pretty neat, too.
That was very
neat to see your family, his family. I mean, I've never witnessed it before, and I was kind of like,
yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Mike and Joni, we didn't, because they came retired, so
they'd already been.
Tracy didn't really care for his wife's hand.
Pretty cool, yeah.
No, I think that was so fantastic.
Awesome. We're going to get it.
All right. Do you have a question, Al?
No.
Except,
no?
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Great job. Okay. So, student fees policy discussion.
All right.
Dr. Barnes?
So, the discussion is a reference to the student fees being a part of the board's policy to approve every year. And so, we talked about it maybe in February, gathering all those fees that will be charged for those extracurricular participation pieces, those extra uniforms, things of that nature. Getting that list together for you guys and present it to the February meeting, and you'll be aware of it and vote on and approve for.
Can we talk about fees just a little bit? Do you mind? I have a couple of notes here.
Good.
Okay. I'm pretty sure the whole board, I don't want to speak for anyone, but you know, we encourage student engagement. There's a goal here we're trying to accomplish, and basically, you know, one of the select centers, I believe I heard them say that you know, sometimes we must change the system we are in to make that happen, right? So I went through the list today. Again, I don't want to beat the dead horse, but there ain't much left in it, but there is a little bit more room for discussion. So, I want everybody to understand, first off, I'm not saying to eliminate all student fees. Just saying we need to minimize as much as possible. You know, I called a couple people just asking, you know, because these are not my field of knowledge here. I don't have any kids in cheer, band, or dance. So some fees I didn't know about. But I was just looking at some fees. It seems repetitive, redundant, and excessive. Start with cheer. I'm just using them for an example. A glitter bow, $18.95. Bow with tails, $7.95. A glitter vinyl bow, $20.95. Let's see what else we got. We have a rain jacket at $77.95. A jogger, $58.95. A fleece jacket at $73.95. A backpack at $39.95. Body liner at $120. Don't even know what that is, but it's there. Then there's embroidery on these items. Some of them as high as $58.50 a piece. And so when I look at that, it adds up to about $477.15 on these. And these are just items that it seems
excessive.
Why are these an annual fee? Right. So a backpack, I would think, that could possibly be used from day one of cheer till they need a new one, but not an every year fee. So it'd be helpful if things that were, an annual a fee versus a every once in a while fee were broken apart whenever that does come. You know, the same thing for cheer, dance, there are several fees that are, you know, redundant. I mean, I don't see why they're on there for every year. Same thing in band, a lot of those fees. And I know that, you know, some fees, they're just there, right? We have to have them. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. It's just the elimination of the excess. So, let's see.
Can we ask that for clarification? Like, some of these items are not just reused. They get new items every year.
I would have to check with you. Just check for you.
It's new those. Every year.
Yeah. My daughter is something they always did. I can't tell you,
I know some of the elementary stuff, you know, they get a choir shirt and she sticks with the same, or, you know, that point did. And, really, unless you pull it up.
The question would be is that if the kid is on cheer multiple years, do they have to purchase those items new every year versus using it? If I had a bag from last year, you run using the same bag.
Right. But also,
knowing that whole purpose is you're not, you know, having separating the haves from the have nots. So, you know, you can belong in choir because there's one T-shirt versus, but I can't try it for cheer because it's going to cost that much money. And then maybe at first, you know, it costs this much, but you build it as you go. Like I know cosmetology kits, sometimes you build it as you get further on in the program. You know, I don't know. I think knowing that that's the main point, not separating.
I did want to thank, you know, the cheer sponsor for being proactive and Adam being proactive on picking up many of their fees. And isn't the cheer going to start using uniforms?
Yeah, she's already changing some of
it. Okay. So, I mean, that's the system I'm talking about, just changing. You know, whereas, I know it's part of it for the cheers. It's probably fun for them to come in and pick out a uniform and everything, but is it necessary in order to align with the district's strategic goals? Especially on the part of being student-focused. You know, there hasn't, we seen this list in October, Adam's made some great strides with that. The cheer sponsors made some great strides with that. But outside of that, there really hasn't been much any movement on anything else. So, or that I've noticed. I'm not going to say there hasn't, because I don't.
But it's pretty cool. Going to change it. I don't know if that's the direction you guys wanted.
Yeah.
Mine sounds like you wanted a list of, you know, what are the fees we're charging, and then kind of set a time frame to get a look at those fees to be sure we're okay with them.
Right.
I could definitely go back to them and see.
Yeah, good. I mean, just the things that are just unnecessarily.
And that they understand the goal of this.
That's part of it. It's understanding the goal of the student engagement.
To minimize the fees as much as possible to not hinder engagement.
And to go to what Susan was saying. Right. Mm-hmm. Separate the haves and have-nots.
Hey, is there fees, too, for athletics that go with specified sports? I mean, is there additional fees for baseball or, you know, volleyball?
I don't know if they're required, but I know they buy additional shirts. But I mean, I don't know.
But that's not.
I think all I said was just the practice uniforms and the main one that cost.
Yeah, I think too.
You're going to have your equipment. You know, you're going to have your bat and glove. You're going to have that kind of stuff. But that's your personal.
That's your personal stuff. But if somebody can't afford a bat, does a baseball team, do they have a bat where they have, if I want to swing a $300 bat, that's on me. But does the school purchase the $40 bat? So, hey,
you can find one for $300.
You can bet there's a $300
on it. That's what I'm like. Yeah. You can find one for $300? Put me up.
That's what it takes.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
so
I mean,
athletics,
I don't know.
It's not broken up. Like,
if you're going to play baseball and you got a Wildcat baseball shirt, where does that come from? I mean,
is there a different cost between baseball, basketball, football, and golf? Because it's all in one. Is there a different cost to going to this?
My understanding is that the uniforms, ballet bits, are all paid for by the district. And just have practice uniforms with the kids had to pay for. So yeah. Additional equipment that the district
provides. Dig into that, because they all get travel shirts too.
Yeah. Well, there's other glaring things too that I noticed with that. If we.
I was going to comment, Dan, for the different athletes, just because I know for a fact, Booster Club pays for a lot of those things.
They don't
have to ask him. Not junior high, but we would if we were asked. We do support the junior high and high school, but if we were asking.
Hey, we would too if we were asked.
So I guess the main thing, though, to prepare for February, if it's coming up for vote, we kind of, I guess, need the list going forward for 21-22. That would be 21-22 with, you know, after the discussion of which we'd reduce. And, I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, well, and we needed a policy now to say. Yeah, and we can give leeway in the policy saying that all fees are going to be approved by the board.
Hey, I think another glaring deal to throw out here, too, for me. We're paying $50 for athletics, for workout clothes and a shirt. But you go down to FFA, and that's just one that stuck out for me. A T-shirt's $8. You go to choir, T-shirt's $10. A band polo is $11. So where's the price discrepancy when we can get an $8 shirt, but we're paying $50 for being athletics?
Remember that, if I recall correctly there, Jason, it's that they are name brand, they're labeled, and it's Under Armour, and it's your shorts and your shirt. And they were doing that really more as to instill pride, really. That's what I recall the response was. So it's not just a shirt. It's shirts and shorts, and it's name brand. So, yeah, that's going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I think that was
that's
the reason.
That's why there's the price discrepancy.
I visited with the school board group. We visited Round Rock ISD, and they looked around and they said, man, we buy a lot of banners every year, and our kids buy a lot of T-shirts. So their CTE department opened a banner and T-shirt shop.
What an excellent idea.
And they printed
that's
everything
great.
For the school district, or in the student-ran print shop. You can get on
that.
So.
Yeah, that's
what would be.
I really didn't think we printed that much until I see this list. And every organization.
You do. You think about it. Every playoff, yes, you do. Yeah. You make it to regionals, you go to the next level, you go, there's
and
another
kids
shirt.
Kids are loving it. I mean, because. You know,
well, that's design and it's production and it's the whole
gamut. It's graphics.
Really, you get the, the art folks thing. Yeah. Okay, wow. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Dr. Barnes, where were we? Were we still looking at. the organizations that are affiliated and their credentials or accreditation, et cetera? Is that being reviewed? That if we're aligning with a booster club, that booster club is actually a nonprofit, that sort of thing?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, the Chronicles have that information, and they have they'll underneath their groups to make sure they share the information for what the school board requires by our board policy. So the members, I think it's like a yearly audit, just to make sure they have those actions, put in a binder. And so, which we'll probably start doing in like August, September before school year starts. And I told them to try to get with their groups. And most of them just have a PTO for the elementaries, and then the high school has some different organizations.
And
just make sure they have the information.
Some of those
readily accessible.
Like, I don't think we're going to be able to fulfill, like, I'm treasurer on the alumni, FFA alumni. I don't think that it's ever been approved by the school board.
The
Bush Club. That the
oh, yeah, FFA Bush Club. Alumni Bush Club.
So some of them, maybe we need to approve them.
Okay. I'll go check with Ms. Archer on our list.
Well, some of this too says that there's fundraising. Are we still putting those stipulations on fundraising? Like if you got a percentage?
You can't for a booster.
No, but I mean for the...
No.
Some of them say that they're doing fundraisers to offset the cost, but I know we've already talked about that before, where some of these are 20%, some of these are 60-70%. So, I mean, are we setting that base to where that we know that we're going to get the...
We're going to set the base on percent profit. We approve all fundraisers. Every group's allowed 2 a year, one each semester, but it's on them to find one that's profitable. And we can encourage them not to spin their wheels because, and to be honest, an average fundraiser nowadays is probably in the 30% profit range. I mean, just like the popcorn deal, yeah, the junior high band, sixth grade band did, amazing at 50%. If you can find 50% profit,
popcorn for all.
Get all you can, start eating on popcorn because.
Well, we're not doing the Louis Vuitton anymore.
I know the gambling night didn't get approved. That one was
it's kind of illegal to have gambling or raffles.
Yes.
Or bingo.
I appreciate you getting the list for us.
Yeah.
Did you get your question?
I mean, we need to. I'm not for kids selling 8%, 10%. I mean, we're kids and parents are working their tails off for somebody else to make a living instead of supporting us. I don't think that's a policy you're putting there that we got to. You're going to bring us something and it needs to be something that's profitable for our kids.
Yeah. Why is it the system that's
I don't know if that's possible.
I guess, well, you're saying you can't do anything like that. So
that you could use those.
Monkey in one of the guidelines and make it get the best options possible, you know?
Right.
Using more.
Maybe that is.
Assuming that their names aren't in there. Once you're off the team, it's going to be somebody else.
I mean, true.
Some of it's varsity, too. They like to use that sponsor. Like, because there's some other cheaper brands of cheer products. For instance, but it's just, I mean, when I did as a principal, I'm trying to go to a cheaper brand, and parents were like, I don't want on varsity. Varsity doesn't, whatever. So I can get her to do a breakdown of why for the ribbon, just to let you know.
Like, yeah. I mean, because Jackie pointed out the bows.
Yeah.
And then it's, then half of them is wearing a bow, half of them is not wearing a bow.
And they don't wear them. Yeah, you buy them and they don't wear them.
So it's the why.
But going back to Dan, Suzanne, I just want to go back real quick, because Dan, you had mentioned, and I think you're right, if we're going to make any progress with this, then is there a need for a policy change? Because otherwise, do we come in on February and we go, oh, yeah, well, that's right, but nothing there, that's just an information item. So it seems like we push things off because we never get that policy in place.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we were at a point right 6 months from now and we get handed this list and it doesn't look any different.
Right, then you're still 6 months.
What do we need? Start penciling through stuff, yeah.
Between now and February, because there's no way we're going to hash all that out.
Yeah.
And have it ready by February, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all... Yeah.
I mean, we can go as far as
simple policy.
But if there's any fees that the district may incur because of the policy, that needs to be done before the end of budget cycle, right?
Yeah. I mean, at some point, we're going to come to y'all with a recommendation, and y'all are going to have to say yes or no, and
That's going to be the sticking point. Right? I'm not looking at that policy, so I'm trying to figure out how to.
So it's going to be baby steps, almost like to the point of.
We could make a motion now to say that all students. I guess I can make a motion. I'll make a motion that all student fees moving forward, after this school calendar year, be submitted to the board.
But
for approval.
Are we accepting these fees as they are with that motion?
He said after this calendar year.
Yeah, I'm giving them after this. The remainder of the school year.
Yeah. Okay.
Or, I mean, we. Basically, I think we need to leave a leeway.
You know the motion.
I'll second
wait for a second.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion made by Danny Craig and seconded by Jackie Knott that going forward for the 21-22 school year that all student fees will be approved by the board.
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor, raise your right hand.
I get my note.
3, 6. All those not in favor. So motion carries 6-0. 6-1, excuse me. Whew, didn't count myself.
All right.
It should be recorded.
I hope so.
What time does it happen?
2:16:07.
2:16:07.
And I've looked
up
that policy before, but I don't know exactly what that is. It's a student fee policy.
Okay.
Actually, Suzanne, can you change me to an A? I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm thinking about exactly what the motion was. I call this.
Okay. So we're 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that, Katie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, you're welcome.
All right.
Next, we have PGP and advising discussion. Go ahead.
That's me.
Thank you all for being patient. Whoever still is presenting.
And I can assure you, there are no fees in counseling.
That's all.
Maybe we should look at that. And I can't figure out how to wear my mask.
It fogs up your glasses. I eat mine. I know. It's
because I can't see and I can't hear in the mask. I don't know what happens to my ears, but it goes away. And so, again, thanks for having me back this month. Last month there was quite a bit of information about mental health and the supports and social emotional learning. And now we're going to move into the guidance piece and talk about the GP process, how it's changed and evolved over the years. I know some of you have been on the board longer than others and remember the way back then, and some of you are newer. So just to go back and touch on that advisement piece of the PGP process. And so when you look back at the PGP, you go all the way back to 2003. One of the things that TEA did back when we were still giving tax was say that anybody that is not successful on tax has to have a personal graduation plan. And that looks really, really different than the personal graduation plan of today.
Mm.
And so that plan could be administered by a counselor, a principal, a teacher, or any other appropriate individual. And so that was kind of taking advising out of the counseling office and saying, you failed tax, you need a plan, we need a remediation step for you. And so it didn't consist of registration, it was really just what are your goals moving forward and how can we help you pass tax, because that was the goal of the PGP. And then in 2005, when RTI was introduced, a lot of those same things from the PGP went from advising in the PGP to the RTI process. So when you're looking at each kid individually, that became more of an instructional approach done through the instructional specialists and the teachers in the classroom. So we went from 2003 to 2005 with different terminology for the same thing. And then there was House Bill 5 that came out in 14-15. And so that complicated a whole lot of things. But before House Bill 5, so somewhere between 2003, 2005, and 2014, here in Splendora, there was the Wildcat Way. Now, you remember the chart, the flow chart, and we had the early college high school, the CTE programs, and everybody had a personal graduation plan meeting. That's what they were called, personal graduation plan meeting. But that didn't really match up to the definition of what TEA said the personal graduation plan was. And so I think that's where some of the confusion came in along the way, because those meetings were not just held by counselors or administrators, They were instructional people, they were teachers, and everybody was kind of given a group of kids. And I think, Troy, you were here then, and maybe we're given a group of 25 that you met with. Brian may have been given 25 as soon as possible. And so throughout the year, you met with those kids, and we kind of went over and reinforced the opportunities that we had in CTE and kind of pushed the early high school program because it was in its infancy and how do we build it up to what we want. And so wrapping that Wildcat Way, CTE and early college, kind of became named the PGP, but it wasn't the PGP because the following House Bill 5 in 1415, House Bill 5 passed, and things got a lot more complicated. Right, that was the year before that I came to Swindora.
I still don't get it. I honestly still don't get everything from House Bill 5.
From House Bill 5?
Nope.
It's more complicated now with the things that they've added on to House Bill 5 when they changed the CTE program again and went from just the endorsement pathways to the pathways of study.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every year that they go into a legislative session, it gets mm-hmm. more and more complicated. Mm-hmm. And so people were still trying to do these PGP meetings that weren't really PGP meetings, they were just individual student meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were still trying to do them, and they were doing the best with the knowledge that they had, but the knowledge was not specific enough to cover the requirements of House Bill 5. So we didn't have endorsement pathways established, and we didn't have training for the people that were actually holding the student meetings. And then we were trying to reshape a little bit of what early college looked like and make it a more tailored approach for the kids. And our CTE programs were growing and changing and developing pathways. And so things got very complicated in a hurry. And so spreading it out, like all the people in this room would be seeing different kids at different times and giving them different pieces of advice based on what they knew at the time. And so in 1516, the schedules were all messed up for the kids trying to get on the pathways. And so when I came in 15, we pulled all of the advising back into the counseling department and trained the counselors on what the endorsement pathways look like, what the early college program high school looked like, what our goals were in the end, which was not so much anymore just graduate with the associate's degree, but let's tailor that associate's degree to what you want to do when you get out. And so really shifting that advising focus over to, you know, if you don't need humanities for your degree, let's not take humanities for your degree. If you need a medical terminology class, let's get you in a medical terminology class. If you need core complete, because you're going into a four-year program, let's do that. And so there's a whole lot of complicated information that's involved in that. And so the only people that are really qualified to do that are the counselors. And so we have moved from that standalone where you had an early college staff, and then you had your CTE advisors and your assistant principal advisors and your instructional advisors, to where we now have counseling advisors. And advisors and advising is a huge part of the counseling department because not only are those high school counselors doing high school advising, House Bill 5 endorsements, level 1 certificates, the industrial certifications, and making sure the kids graduate with everything they need, they're also doing college advising. So that if your kid wants to go to A&M and study business, and your kid wants to go to Lamar and study engineering, that they're taking the right courses when they're in high school. And so that's the complicated piece of advising. And then updates from TEA, because, you know, they can't stop changing things. And so as of 2020, that's this year, they have come out with a plan. These are the actual slides from the TEA update. That in K-12, post-secondary advising officially lives in the counseling office. That it's become so complicated and so specialized that there are really no other staff that are qualified to provide the advising that's needed. Now, what TEA says is working across the state is that we are moving toward a whole child approach, which looks at their academic profile, their aptitudes, their mental health, and their family circumstances. But you cannot make a plan for a kid based strictly on one of those things. You have to look at all four of those things and help the whole child figure out where that whole child wants to be when that whole child becomes an adult. Okay. Comprehensive counseling model, and that's kind of what we went over last month when I was here, that Texas comprehensive counseling model that we're moving to that has the different guidance pieces and percentages of time that we're supposed to be spending on those things. What isn't working, according to TEA across the state, is that counselor caseloads are paired with extra duties that inhibit those relationships. counselor inclusion on leadership teams and capacity to serve as program leaders, and there is consistent access to training and professional development advising. I think we are ahead of the game here because counselor inclusion on leadership teams, I can say that on every single campus, counselors are included on the leadership team. And that is extremely unusual in a lot of places. Counselors are often kind of left out and they work in isolation. But we have managed to pull all of ours into the leadership teams and their voices heard and respected. We also have access to all the training, professional development that we need for advising. We've done a really good job of providing the counselors the information they need to provide the advice to the students and the parents to help them move into that post-secondary world. So I think we're ahead of the game. This is what TEA is trying to go away, and this is kind of what we saw back in 14-15 when House Bill 5 was passed and we had different people doing different things, and they call it random acts of advising. So you get one little piece from one person, one little piece from another, and it never all comes together. And so what we really need to do is make it all come together. And TEA's vision for that looks like the next slide, where everything kind of works like a gear, that you're looking at the whole child, you've got all of your pieces in them, it's driven by relationships, communication, and touch points. And it's designed to help each student draw connections between their academic choices, their career possibilities, and their post-secondary education. So it doesn't stop with just, let's get you a plan that gets you through high school, but let's get you a plan that gets you through high school and ready for your post-secondary approach. And it requires leadership, ownership, transition, and content expertise. So going back to making sure your counselors are well-trained, well-versed, and can offer solid, consistent advice. TEA is developing an effective advising framework. That's what EAF stands for. They actually have a committee that is out there made up of lots of people, and they are in the process of developing a framework for what they think advising should look like. I think it looks like a lot of what we have here already, right? Where we're centering it in the counseling office, we're training the people that they need to do it, we're removing the other duties that are not required of them, and letting them do what they need to do. They're hoping to have their pilot program out by the fall of 2021 and launch a statewide advising program fall of 2022. So the next slide, Katie, shows what they're working on to do that. And that is the Texas model for comprehensive counseling programs, which is what we went over last week and reviewed a little bit. There's a link in it. It's about this thick, if, you know, in your spare time, you want to click on it and review that. But it's basically subdividing what the duties are in the counseling department and saying you should spend this much time here, this much time here, and this much time here. Okay. The other thing that TEA is working on and they pushed out a couple of years ago and they are beefing up right now is the Texas Honor Course Academy. And those are courses that are online that have been developed and vetted that counselors can take for professional development, parents can take to learn about financial aid, college opportunities, post-secondary opportunities. There are games in there for kids to play to learn about careers. This is what we just trained the career teachers on at eighth grade, and that's what they're using in their career exploration class. And so if you wanted to get online and check out Honor Course Academy, there are a lot of good tools there. Kathy White at the junior high has kind of been leading the charge over there with the eighth grade teachers, and she is right now working on how we can utilize Texas On Course for our advising with parents if we're not able to do face-to-face when we come back for the spring. So that's kind of in the works on that part. Okay, supports that we have in place. We have transition plans that we developed last year for kids that are moving between eighth and ninth grade. We also have a transition plan, and I know it still says 5th to 6th, and we are 6th to 7th now, but I have not revised those plans since last year. So if you go in and click on the links there, they will still say 5th to 6th, and it will have last year's information. But back in January, we will revise those plans to reflect the changes that are coming. What those changes are, I can't even predict at this point, because who knows what it's going to look like when we come back. You know, how are we going to manage to have the PGP meetings this year that are face-to-face with the eighth graders? And that's something that we talked to the high school counselors about today, and we're trying to come up with a plan if we can't bring the parents in. And so, you know, a virtual option may be a thing, a telephone option may be a thing, We've also are looking at maybe moving the face-to-face meeting to the beginning of ninth grade and just getting them registered this year. So we've got lots of different options to kick around, and kind of depending on what COVID does, we'll move forward. We moved sixth grade back to elementary, but they have a different schedule. We have seventh graders all in Lead Worthy, and so that is a perfect place to do that targeted guidance that we need to do for seventh grade. We have eighth grade students that all have health and career, so we've got targeted guidance happening there. The eighth grade counselor has been a high school youth counselor. She understands High School 5 completely and totally. She's helped design endorsement sequences, and she knows what we have. So last week, she went into all of the career studies classes, and she spent 3 days with them going over what endorsement pathways look like, what their options are, and she'll do that again in the spring before we start doing our transition program with them so that they can see and actually hopefully still come over to the high school and tour what we have. We've got early college and CT options that are integrated into the transition plans, coordinating Adam and Susan and myself to make sure we're all on the same page and that the information is correct and getting pushed down to where it needs to go. And we've got the career exploration teachers training with Texas OnCourse. High school counselors hold PGP meetings, and that PGP, again, means that personal graduation plan where we sit and I'll watch your copy.
Ms. Youngblood, when are those? I have so many questions. When are those happening?
When are these happening? These usually happen right before spring break.
And is there a way of tracking that all of our students are going, getting these?
Yes.
They all have to, I mean, every school, they all have to be in eighth grade.
Oh, so this is only happening in the eighth grade?
But if they're, just to be clear, they're
only
eighth
grade. Happening in the eighth grade?
And then it goes through the whole time. That's, so that's the schedule of what they
do. Yes, so it's all this happens in eighth grade, and there is a way to track. Anna Hernandez calls and sets up an appointment with every single eighth grade parent. And they come in, we have some evenings available, and we have some daytime appointments available, and we have virtual options that have been available. And once we fill this out, they select their endorsement based on what they see with the transition planning. We go through and their early college high school, we fill it out as an early college high school plan. If they're CTE, we put their endorsements on there, their electives, and everybody has one of these by the time they enter ninth grade. And we don't get rid of these. These are in triplicate. So the parent gets one, we keep one, and the student gets one. And so when we sit down to register, let's say we did this with ninth grade this year, we still have this copy. And so the part of registration is sitting down with the ninth grade student and going through and seeing what the next step is in their plan. If they want to change their plan, then that is a phone call and a visit with a parent. Does that answer your question? Sort of.
No, it answers my question, but maybe you and I can talk afterward.
Okay.
I guess part of my concern is, especially now with the CTE being able to push down to junior high,